Good morning, everybody, and very warm welcome to any people who are visiting the church here for the first time, and in particular to the Reverend Dong Chung Lee from the Presbyterian Church of Korea and his family. The Reverend Dong Chung Lee, of course, is Haeyun's father. The day continues with interactive worship at 11:30, which includes two baptisms. And then, as always, there's reflective worship this evening at 6:30, this week with communion. Don't forget, please, that today's loose collection is in favor of drought relief in East Africa. It's got rather removed from the headlines, the situation in East Africa over the last couple of weeks or so, due to other events, but the need is as strong as ever. You might have or can get hold of an envelope like this, so you can gift aid any contribution you might want to make, and you can make checks out to Christian Aid. One item of pastoral news, Joan Mackay is in St. George's Hospital, but is expected to come back to Kingston Hospital shortly. Next Saturday, the Open Gardens event takes place at Myrtle Austin's Garden. That is on Saturday, the 23rd of July. And on the same day, there's a chance to find out more about the new URC marketing campaign at New Malden URC. There are details in the service plate paper. And then there are two brigades services you should be aware of. On Friday, there is the end-of-year brigade service, and then next Sunday, as again you'll see from the service paper, there is an end-of-brigade service, the last ever brigade service, at 6:30, preceded by a tea at 5:30. An appeal from Steve for the two activity mornings this month on Monday and Tuesday, the 25th and 26th of July, and then the two activity mornings in August on Monday and Tuesday, the 22nd and 23rd of August. Assistance is still needed and help would be much appreciated. No experience apparently is necessary, and newcomers are very welcome. If you are able to volunteer, please do speak to Steve. And finally, congratulations to Soo Kin, who went to Cardiff this week to pick up his MA. Well done, Soo Kin.
And while we're on the subject of good news, big excitement in two households this week. Firstly, in the Sony household, for the fact that Will is due back from his travels back from China tomorrow. Tuesday, shuffled already, yes. So big excitement with them. And then for the Jameses this week. And they have two big excitements, which is a whole lifetime's excitement in two, which is Rebecca put in her thesis for her PhD, and it's only going to need minor corrections before she gets it. And Louisa is engaged. We join together to worship God and hear these words from the psalmist. Teach us your ways, O God, that we may walk in your truth. For you are good and forgiving. We join to sing, Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. As we come aware of the holiness of the presence of God, let us spend time recalling the ways that we have treated other people, which was not as God would have us do. Loving God, sometimes we have not been able to forgive. We have not been as caring as would have been right. We have failed to be patient. Have mercy on us. We thank you, loving God, that you do not want us to be burdened by our past, but you have come in Jesus to forgive us. Help us to receive your forgiveness. We thank you, loving God, that you have called us as your children, that you treat us as your family. We give you thanks and ask that you would help us to live lives that would glorify your name forever. Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. You know that game, Where's Wally? You know that game where you've got a, you know, you've got a, I'll talk what I'm going to talk about in a minute, but you know that game where you've got Where's Wally, which is loads of pictures and you've got to find the particular, right, well your challenge this morning is, in this space this morning, there are five ministers of religion. Five! Woohoo! You've got to spot them. Right, okay, here we go. One, no, that's right, later. Right, now listen to me now. When Jesus wanted to get a message over to people, he did it by telling a story. Now, the thing about telling a story is, it means I tell you the story and then you have to go to work on it. Yes? And what I get from the story is maybe not what you get from the story. So actually, teaching by using stories is quite a dangerous thing. Because I could tell you a story and you could get a very different thing from it than what I intended. It's also a very respectful thing, because when I tell you a story and expect that you will work out what is true, it says, I think you've got the tools. I think you can do something with this. It values you. Later on, we're going to have a story which the children will be working on as well. And I'm going to talk about it, and the teachers will talk about it. But if you think something different about that story, I want you to go and talk to John Watts and tell him, because he's going to be our collector of knowledge. John Watts is out there at the minute. He's in the vestibule, or I would make him stand up. You can probably hear me. Should we say something rude about him? No, that would be mean. So if you think... For the things I... Yeah. Watch it, you. All right. That's John Watts, you see that? If you think something different from the sermon and the teaching about this story, then give it to him and we'll collect all our teaching. We're going to sing. As the deer pants for the water, we join to sing. First reading is a statement of the, no doubt about it, there is only one God. Now, you might be thinking, well, of course, that's what the Bible says. No, it doesn't. To get to this place, there has been a development of ideas. And so here we have, in Isaiah, the statement that there is one God who is the one God of history. And Liz Cook will read this passage. Oh, no, oh, not read. Oh, wrong way around. Change. Oh, well, that's a bit of a shock. Change sex. This is Ray Charlton, and he will read this passage to us.
Isaiah 44, reading from verse 6. The Lord, who rules and protects Israel, the Lord Almighty, has this to say. I am the first, the last, the only God. There is no other God but me. Could anyone else have done what I did? Who could have predicted all that would happen from the very beginning to the end of time? Do not be afraid, my people. You know that from ancient times until now, I have predicted all that would happen, and you are my witnesses. Is there any other God? Is there some powerful God I have never heard of?
The second reading, which is from Romans, this is Liz Cook, and it is to develop a vision of creation that is saved, set free from the bondage of decay, and the present sufferings that are part of this world are like creation's labour pains. Liz Cook will read this passage to us.
The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses from 12 to 25. So then, my brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to live as our human nature wants us to. For if you live according to your human nature, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death your sinful actions, you will live. Those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And by the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, Father, my Father. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people, and we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory. I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared at all with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. All of creation waits with eager longing for God to reveal his children. For creation was condemned to lose its purpose, not of its own will, but because God willed it to be so. Yet there was the hope that creation itself would one day be set free from its slavery to decay and would share the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that up to the present time, all of creation groans with pain, like the pain of childbirth. But it is not just creation alone which groans. We who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts also groan within us as we wait for God to make us his children and set our whole being free. For it was by hope that we were saved. But if we see what we hope for, then it is not really hope. For which of us hopes for something we see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Thanks be to God.
Amen. And finally, the reading from the Gospel of Matthew makes it clear that God's reign has enemies. How is this going to be sorted out? Well, it would seem that the message is you have to wait for the end time. Margaret Golding will read this passage to us.
This is from Matthew 13, beginning at verse 24, the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man sowed good seed in his field. One night, when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants grew and the ears of corn began to form, then the weeds showed up. The man's servants came to him and said, "Sir, it was good seed you sowed in your field. Where did the weeds come from?" "It was some enemy did this," he answered. "Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?" they asked him. "No," he answered, "because as you gather the weeds, you might pull up some of the wheat along with them. Let the wheat and the weeds both grow together until harvest. Then I will tell the harvest workers to pull up the weeds first, tie them in bundles and burn them, and then to gather in the wheat and put it in my barn." Amen.
So, as you know, it is my contention that when somebody is telling the truth in stories, they are trying to get us to think for ourselves. If you think about the contrast in teaching methods between those two readings from the New Testament, where the writer in Romans is trying to nail it down, and the story of Jesus is, here it is, you work it out. If you want to find the interpretation that's recorded in Matthew, it's from verse 36 to 43. But I would contend that Jesus taught us in stories so that we would interpret them for ourselves. And you will have your interpretation of that story, and it is as valid as mine. And as I've already said to you, the person that you need to talk to is John Watts, so that he can collect our wisdom. So I add my interpretations. I do not replace yours. So one interpretation of the message of the story about the spoiling of the crop by the sowing of weeds is that in the world, it is divided between good people and you're frying tonight. Yes? One lot are heading for heaven and one lot, man, are you in trouble. And the message of the story is that there are negative people. But the message of the story is also that you are not always able to tell who those people are. Because if the Lord of the harvest had been confident that the farmers could go into the field and say, good, bad, good, bad, the message of the story is lost. The story is that It's difficult to tell the difference. And that story directly impacts then on the way that we will live tomorrow. You cannot tell by looking at a person or by knowing them superficially whether they are of the light or of the darkness. The truth is that many of us, all of us have our weaknesses. Many of us have many weaknesses. Our weeds, and we keep them secret. They are difficult, and we do not want people to know about them. But that works in both ways. God knows about our weaknesses. And that is good news as well as it is a challenge. So God knows about the young person who smokes marijuana, but comes from a family where everybody else does hard drugs. And God knows what a triumph it is that that young person only smokes marijuana. God knows about the person who is rude to their neighbours and is never invited in because they're rude. God knows that actually the problem is that they're lonely. God knows about the person who accuses others of being mean and says, "Why don't they do something about this?" God knows that that person has actually got pots of money in the bank and could do something about it. God knows about the person who gossips, passes on tittle-tattle about people and says, "I'm just telling you this for prayer." God knows. And the good news is God knows it all, and therefore, with God, we can and we must be completely honest. God knows where we are. God knows how we got there. God knows the stories of all those who've gone before us. And God is a tender judge, but a judge nonetheless. Our relationship with God is that of a relationship with the one who would be the best of parents. Our relationship is that we are children of God. Yes, God is holy, God is perfect, God is pure, God is beyond us, but God is also the one who we believe has come in Jesus and is not disinterested in our struggles. So with God in Jesus, there is intimacy of relationship, and God is the one who brings us to call Abba, which means, you know, it's a pet name. It's a pet name. So it's about Abba, Father, a tender relationship. And the passage from Romans goes on that our life on the earth is a battle and our bodies are a battle, and one day that will be behind us. But for now, that battle goes on. So one of the messages, another thing from that story is that in this world there is a battle between what is good and right and true and what is shoddy and superficial and what is negative. And that battle takes place every day. And do you know where it takes place? Ba, 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 da, da. Inside me. And guess what? Inside you as well. The battle is to be the best that we can be. Not what's quickest, not what's easiest, not what will get the most people going, "Whoop, whoop, 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 you're fantastic, we think you're really great." It's about doing what God requires. And sometimes, yes, there is a challenge to work that out, but more, we know what it is and we just won't do it. let me ask you this question, and I'll park it here. And here it is. It is, do you have somebody that you can share your most deep battles with? Do you have somebody that you trust enough to tell them your deepest battles? Because it would be a good idea to find somebody. We all have them. So your pornography addiction is my procrastination. Your overeating is my acceptance of lazy stereotypes. My self-centeredness is your lack of thinking about the big issues. God's reign has enemies. But the sad thing is that very often in our churches, we do the work of any atheist ourselves. We're so busy bitching, we're so busy talking nonsense, we're obsessed with things that nobody else cares about. We insist on detail that we're never going to know this side of heaven. So the challenge is to get on doing that which is the right thing, which we discern to be God's will, to do it with generosity, to do it with kindliness, to do the work of the good seed, and just to be there as sunflowers to the glory of God. Just to do it. And is the person beside me a thorn? Ho hum. I'm a sunflower, being the best sunflower that I can be. That's my job. To do the good, the right things that we can do, to know that God loves us, knows our story, knows our weaknesses, knows our pain, our trauma, and is in our corner going, yes, you did it today. And my final interpretation. The whole thing about these battles between light and darkness is, if you're not careful, there's a nuance that's lost. And the nuance is this. How do we know what actually is darkness anyway? So, I mean, for some things it's clear. For example, if you are an alcoholic and you can't do your job because you are battling with the drink, you need to give up the drink. It's not, you know, it's getting in the way. You need to stop it. However, in time, once you have battled with the drink, battled with alcohol, you've learned that, maybe it could be that that which was a weakness actually can turn to be a strength. So you can now be among those who, once you were an alcoholic, now you have, you know, Betty Ford. Excellent example. You know, once she was an alcoholic, then she sets up the Betty Ford Clinic. Once you were homeless, now you are working for in the whole issue of housing. Once you were a gambler, now you set up Gamblers Anonymous. And even if your particular issue doesn't get you to the place where you know, this is Leslie and I'm a, you know, whatever it is, could it not be that your battles with your weaknesses can actually be the thing that stops you from being a judgmental pain in the neck? Woo, got to neck. Pain in the neck with everybody else around about you. That your weaknesses can actually mean that you are tender and more kindly, because you know what? Everybody knows that you have your weaknesses. Even if you won't tell anybody what they are. What the world needs is people doing God's will, aware that they are not God, so they will fail, so we will fail, and aware that what other people need from us is not condemnation. That is God's job, if it comes to it. It is not ours. and to know that we are all people who have received from God. Let us be still, and then we will pray. On those days when staying in bed is more appealing than venturing out, stick with us, God. As we struggle with our weaknesses, the body that we've got and the one we wish we had, show us what we're really worth in vigour and in frailty. Give us a sense of power and a life full of your grace. Lord, we pray. Amen. The hymn, For All the Saints. we have four requests for prayer, and then I will lead us into the rest of our prayers of intercession. So let us pray. We ask to pray for Paul Field and Dan Wheeler, who are acoustic musicians, Christians based in Devon. We're asked to pray for the Reverend Christopher Palmer. Jacob asks us to pray for him, that God will reveal his plan, that training will lead to where God wants him to be, and also that God will help him to be strong when he is weak. We're asked to pray for Denise Anscombe, who lives with ME, high blood pressure, and knows that she has blocking of her arteries. Lord, you know these people, you know their situations. Here and now, we bring them to you. This week, we hold before you the choices of the journalists, the proprietors, the politicians. And we recognize that their choices have been our choices. We pray for them. His brother gave him drugs when he was a child. Now he cannot find work and lives with addiction. We pray for him. We pray for people like him. Every day he used to beat her for 9 years. Now she is safe, but the challenge is to get him out of her head. We pray for her and people like her. She had to give up work because she became ill. Her body let her down. We pray for her and people like her. They are us. With our addictions, our life stories, our physical challenges. and we pray for ourselves. And all in the name of Jesus. Amen. As Vaughan announced this morning, the loose cash will be going to the Disaster Emergency Committee. We will do that through Christian Aid because we've got a structure set up for that. If you are a UK taxpayer and you can gift aid it, there are envelopes at the back, Christian Aid envelopes, the red ones. But we know that some of you will already have given your money on Disaster Emergency Committee. Fantastic. All part of the same work. But for now, your offerings will be received. Let us pray. Bless all those, O God, who are battling to feed the hungry. Whether they know it or not, whether they do it in your name or not, it is your work that they do. Bless all those governments who are pledging money, that there would be generosity among the people, that there would be clarity of purpose, and that groups would work well together so that there is not waste. Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, how many of you know that hymn? Hands up, all you Presbyterians, come on. Now, what we're going to do, this is a very interesting hymn. Once upon a time, it was as well known as "The Lord's My Shepherd" to Crimond. Once upon a time, it was. My grandfather would say, every wedding, every every baptism, every funeral by Cool Siloam Shady Rill. And then, when the Church of Scotland produced CH3, they chopped off this verse. There was blood on the walls. When they produced CH4, which they've done really recently, this ancient hymn went back in. Isn't that... So, Tony, would you like to play the tune, please? Just stay seated, and we'll just sing that one verse, okay? That as a wee surprise, because Peggy Chegwin wants that. So when Peggy's in, that will be the last hymn. But today we're going to have Marguerite's choice for last hymn. So that will be very different. Give me joy in my heart. Yes, go. Blessing. God who is patient and forgiving, God who sees the good in us and gives us time to heal, may God the Creator bless us, may God the Son keep us, and God the Holy Spirit strengthen us, now and always. Amen.